Hello, leaders in the audience. I have a question for you. Are you more likely to tell a meaning story or a money story to your team? On today's program, we're going to be talking about that with Lisa Earle McLeod, who is the author of the book Leading with Noble Purpose. And she's going to tell us why your answer to that question can make all the difference. Hi, I'm Karen Reed. I'm a four-time author, Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist, and communication expert on helping people to own the room, whether it be a physical one or a virtual one. Welcome to Speaker Dynamics. Lisa McLeod, I am so excited that you are here today and we can have this really interesting discussion about this idea of communicating with noble purpose. Thank you for being on here.
It's such a pleasure. I always enjoy our conversations.
Absolutely. So let's kind of dig in with talking about really the definition of noble purpose. You know, what do you mean by that? I know it's been the basis of your consulting for a long time.
So people get really confused about purpose. I've been doing this for about 15 years, and purpose in business is having its moment right now. And a lot of times people think that purpose is about your ESG metrics or personal happiness or all those things. And all those things are important things. But from my position on this is your purpose as an organization is to improve life for your customers. That's it. Yes, you want to be a good employer. Yes, you want to have your ESG metrics and all those things. Yeah, none of those are at risk. But what happens too often inside organizations when you talk about communicating with noble purpose is the larger the organization, the more the purpose tends to go underground. And what takes precedence is each department's metrics. So we've got somebody in accounting saying, I need this, and somebody in IT saying, I need this. And they're not connected into the larger purpose of the organization. They are well-intended people trying to do their jobs, is usually how it starts. But when the organization, in the absence of a noble purpose to improve life for customers, the organization will become very transactional. It'll become all about the money and only the money. And people will get siloed because they're just trying to hit their own metrics.
So how important is it for leaders to, you know, be the mouthpiece, I guess, for this idea of, you know, communicating with noble purpose, you know, selling with noble purpose, leading with noble purpose? Like, what does that look like for them? How important is their role in kind of setting the stage for that?
It is essential. It is absolutely essential. So one of the things that we do when we work as consultants with a leadership team is we will look at their communication, what they talk about in meetings, what they broadcast out in town halls. And if 90% of your communications are around the financial metrics of your organization and the task list, you will create a very transactional organization. A couple things will happen. No compelling story inside. No compelling story outside. You will become undifferentiated to your customers and you will lose employee engagement. And sometimes it is simply the difference between in advance of in 2 minutes before you go through your financials or go through your task list, all you need to do is reset people. Let me remind you. So I went to a huge meeting. Hilton is one of our clients. Their CEO does a great job. They have a noble purpose that Conrad Hilton came up with 100 years ago. So I'm going to tell it to you, but I'm going to put it in context.
Yep.
So imagine if he had started that meeting saying, here's how many rooms we booked this year. Here's how much money we made. Here's where our new properties are. Fine, your normal meeting. But instead, he stands on that stage in front of a global audience and he says, I want to remind everyone, our purpose is to fill the earth with the light and warmth of hospitality. And every guest that comes into our hotel, every company that books rooms with us, we are filling them with the light and warmth of hospitality. So now as I go through these numbers and we look at what we're doing here, it is all in the service of that larger goal.
I love that. You know, and
You just did it right then and there.
Absolutely. And I think what you're alluding to is what you talk about in your book, Leading with Noble Purpose, where you say, tell a meaning story over a money story. Right. But my question is, in this current climate, how difficult is that to do? Or is it more difficult because there is this uncertainty and there seems to be such a focus on metrics now, people trying to figure out how to be more efficient, given just the uncertainty of the world, you know, at large? How hard is it today versus even a couple of years ago?
With your team, it's easier because they're desperate for it. If I stand up in front of my team, whether I'm running a, you know, Hilton with the global people all over the world, or I got five people, you know, I'm a little team that does whatever. If I stand up in front of them and I say, our purpose is to hit our numbers, I have basically told them you are a cog in a money machine and nothing more. Mm-hmm. And I want to be super clear. Hilton's hitting their numbers. Other people are hitting their numbers. You don't want to create a false dichotomy here. The numbers are a lagging indicator. Mm. So when we talk about the difference between a money story and a meaning story is, I just did a session with another CEO where they, it's a great company called Podometrics, look them up. And they treat the founder, Notice is a doctor, and noticed that there were lots of amputations of diabetics, foot amputations. He's an anesthesiologist. Right. And so he came up with this treatment protocol to spot pre-diabetic patients when they're having problems in their feet early. Okay. So he stands up there and says, he's got all kinds of metrics he's got to hit. He's got a board. He's got all this stuff. But he stands up there and says, for every person we get on this mat, their treatment protocol, that is a person who still has both their feet, who can walk their daughter down the aisle at their wedding. Mm. And so when I say it's easier, just because the market or your boss is putting pressure on you for numbers, you can add a money story or the meaning story to the money. All you have to do is go, how is what we're doing make a difference to someone besides us?
Right.
And tell an example of even one person. And what that does, the brain science on that, the frontal lobes are ignited, empathy and compassion is ignited, passion is ignited, you are more excited, you're going to put forth more effort, and your team will be more innovative, they'll be more emotionally engaged, and all you have to do is tell a story about what you're actually already doing.
Yeah. I mean, this actually reflects something that I would often do when I worked in TV news. Like if I'd be assigned a story about the challenge with the rising homeless population, I'm not going to do it based upon the numbers. I'm going to find that one parent who is living in her car with her kids, and I'm going to focus the story in on her and the challenges that she has. And that's going to be a much more impactful version of the same story than if I had said, you know, there's, you know, X number of people who are homeless today across the United States. So I love the idea of making it concrete and bringing it to life, breathing life into, you know, the reason why you do what you're doing every day.
Well, you're already there. And, you know, I gave the example of Hilton. I gave the example this medical company. Okay, we have a concrete company that does this. So if you're thinking, oh, what do we do?
It's easy if you're saving people's
lives. You're saving, you know, diabetics from losing their feet.
Right.
We have a concrete company. And if you think concrete is not essential, you try living your life without it. Concrete literally holds up half the world. So they have stories about someone's basement caving in, them going in and fixing it. So it doesn't have to be the sexiest, the saving a life thing. If we've got a company that we work with that does accounting software, well, guess what? It's accurate. Mm. It helps people have confidence in their numbers. It makes it easier. They're not agonizing over it. So just tell a story about one company that's using your software and how it's making a difference to them. And this is the key part. A lot of people will talk about internal customers. And you definitely want to have respect for your colleagues. You want to meet your commitments to people. But I'm not a fan of the internal customer. Mm-hmm. Because once everybody's a customer, it takes away the urgency for the people that are actually the reason why the company exists, which is the external customer.
Yeah.
So one of the things these stories can do for people, we'll go back to Hilton, there's a whole team of people working in IT that have never seen a guest. I mean, they go out on their own vacations. We need to give them the story so they know this work that you're doing is making a difference. So the stories allow you to create that shared culture. And again, you might not have a Kristen Setta, CEO of Hilton, standing up there doing it for you. If you got three people that work for you, you don't need to wait. You can do it yourself.
Yeah. One of the things that you talk about is the idea of humanizing the customer for everyone in the organization, which is kind of what you're alluding to. Why is it so important that it's the leader who is the one who is taking on that challenge?
So one of the jobs of leadership is to infuse meaning and purpose into the work. And you do it with story. That's why you show the story of the one homeless person, because the human mind is hardwired for that. If you are not the leader, you can still do it. And our research shows that the top performers do it for themselves all the time. They don't wait for their boss to do it. But what happens when you're the boss and you do it is that tells the whole team your work has value. Because once we get beyond food and shelter, human beings have two fundamental needs. We want belonging and significance. Belonging is I'm part of something bigger than myself. And significance is my part matters. And so when you as a leader say, I know we're all back here in IT, but you need to know, here's how our company helped this person sleep better at night because their accounting numbers were dead spot on. We play a role in that. You are seeding into your team the belonging and significance that they need. And the beauty of this is, it will increase their personal happiness with their job. It'll increase their emotional engagement to the company. It'll increase their sense of innovation because they're now not thinking every day time to go do my software. They're thinking there's a person over there that I'm doing this for. And guess what? Everything I've just described takes 10 minutes and it's free.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and you're talking about this idea of belonging and the desire that we all have for that. That has been a bit more challenging, seeing that we work differently today. And, you know, obviously having written suddenly hybrid and suddenly, you know, virtual,
you know,
spending so much time. Yeah, like the way we work today presents some different opportunities and different challenges. And, you know, having spent plenty of time with leaders and emerging leaders, it's, gosh, those middle managers especially are really struggling with trying to figure out how to create that sense of belonging that, you know, perhaps, you know, the infusing work with meaning and noble purpose. You know, what advice do you have for leaders who are so used to, you know, working with that playbook of just managing by walking around? And when they walk around now, maybe they're walking in their home office or they're walking through an office that is missing a lot of people because they're not in that day. What do you do?
And so the connectivity is the challenge. And every company has to decide for themselves, are we hybrid, are we remote, are we whatever. What I will say is, if you're getting all your people to come in just because you think they need to collaborate more, yeah, it's probably not going to work for you.
Yeah.
So what I will say is, in a remote environment, you've got to make the time for storytelling. And I can tell you, I was doing this work before we all were remote. People don't make the time for storytelling. In a remote environment, it's worse, because what happens is those spreadsheets, they can be forwarded. We can pull them up on our screen. But one of the things that we teach people is customer impact stories. And if you start every meeting with a customer impact story, here's how we made a difference to a customer this week. Here's how their life is better as a result of doing business with us. Here's the accounting people we helped. Here's the concrete people we helped. Here's the family that came on vacation here. If you start your meetings with that, you are creating a shared story. If you think about it, all the great companies that we think of, they have a story. They usually have a founder story. Every religion of the world, the great religions, book of stories. Every country has its origin story. Whether it's true or not, another issue. But we all have our story. And you go to the family reunion, the elders tell the same stories. If I were to go to someone's family reunion and I listen to the stories, I can pretty well guess what the ethos of that family is. Is it we triumph? Is it we're the victims of the man? Whatever the stories are, we'll tell you. And so what you're doing on your team is, if you start each meeting with a story about how our regular work on a regular day made a difference. Like, we've all got the stories of somebody that went the extra mile and got on a plane and delivered the customer their presentation. Just go to your regular thing that you sell at a regular price on a regular day to a regular customer and just describe how it helped them.
Yeah.
Like if you just start there, now you'll have some people on your Zoom that are multitasking, that are doing online ordering their groceries. They won't all be there. So there's nothing you can do about that. But you will have a better likelihood of winning hearts and minds if you start your meetings with stories.
I love that idea because I, you know, having spent so much time in meeting science, we know the value of that non-business, even small talk that begins before the meeting even happens, because research indicates it leads to better business outcomes as a result. Happened organically when we were actually all together because, you know, you have that chit chat as you're coming in. Hey, how was the game last night? Blah, blah, blah. But this can really sterilize the connection.
That's what's happening.
If you don't inject humanity into it in a purposeful way. And I love the idea of using story that is, you know, it's certainly business related, but it's presented in a different way.
In a human way. And that, when you talk about before we got together and did the chit chat, how was the game? Yeah, on the best teams, we did that. But let's be honest, it over-indexed on pleasure for the extroverts. And it over-indexed on belonging for the people who all look like the boss.
Yeah.
So you know, true. I would go into those meetings a million years ago. Hey, ever watch the game? No, I didn't. I don't even know who played basketball this week. So they depend on you fitting in. But when you start telling stories about how we made a difference as a company, then we're all part of the same team.
I love that so much. Yeah. And that's a great insight there. You know, one of the things you also talk about in Leading with Noble Purpose is the importance of leaders telling their backstory.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what that is and why that's important.
So one of the things, I'm going to quote one of the people in the book, who's Cheryl Batchelder, who was the founder of Popeye's Chicken, who took it over. They were a mess. They were being sued by their franchisees. They were, you know, just losing money. It was a big mess. And she took it over, turned it around over the course of several years, and became America's most profitable restaurant CEO. So huge success story. And one of the things that she said to me was, she said, people always want to know the leader's motivation. So just tell them in the beginning so they don't have to guess. And your backstory is why you're here. And it doesn't have to be necessarily dramatic, but if you're leading an organization or leading a team, you probably had some choices. Why'd you go into concrete instead of accounting? Why'd you go to work for Hilton instead of somebody else? And it doesn't have to be that dramatic. But what happens is when you tell people your backstory, then they will see everything that you do in the context of that. So if you talk about concrete, you know, I wanted something that was really easy to understand, that was really practical. And I've always been drawn to tough, gritty work that helps people and makes buildings better. Like, it doesn't have to be that exciting if you just say that. I kind of fell into it. My dad was in it. And I just really always love the idea that what we're doing might not seem sexy to other people, but it is holding up most of the world. And so that's pretty exciting to me. And then they'll know you in that way. So it doesn't have to be like some super vulnerable, you know, why did I become a doctor? You know, my dad was an alcoholic and he died and I wanted to save people. And if that's true, great. But you know, it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
It can literally be, you know, concrete holds up the whole world and I'm pretty happy to be part of it.
Yeah. I love how succinct that is, you know, that appeals to my desire to have everybody be more concise and clear in their communication. But I do find I'm working with a client right now who just finds it agonizing and almost like he's turning the spotlight too much on himself by sharing more about himself with his team, with his company. You know, what do you say to those who are reluctant to share more about who they are and would rather just, you know, deliver the data and be more, as you said, transactional? What do you say to them?
So I would say a couple things. You don't have to share everything. Hmm. God love Brené Brown for putting vulnerability into the business vernacular. Having said that, it is a skill like any other skill. And being vulnerable with your team doesn't mean sharing all your inner demons, because that is about you.
Right.
Like, I don't want to know that my boss has all these secret problems. I'd rather think my boss knows what they're doing. Now, I'm old enough and wise enough to know you can have inner demons and know what you're doing. But a lot of times when leaders are asked to share more about themselves, they think it means the deeply personal things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple as, I want to tell you about one of the things I like about this business. It can be as simple as, I'm a very private person, so I don't share a lot, but I do want you all to know that I deeply care about the work that we do here.
Yeah. And do you think that that's more important today, when it seems like there is kind of this expectation outside of the business that we know more about the why of the company as well as the why of the leader? You know, almost, you know, I one CEO I was working with who was saying, I really hate the idea of a CEO having to be the star. I'm like, yeah, it's not.
And you're not the star,
right?
Just, in fact, if you do that. So here's the thing you need to know as a leader. You are the center. They're trying to interpret everything you say, and they're trying to understand you. It is in their service if you make it easy for. So just like Cheryl said, Cheryl Batchelder, they're trying to figure out why is she doing this, why is she doing that, why is she. That's innate in your job. If you can't, if you're not comfortable with that, don't be the CEO. That's what they're trying to figure out. Just don't make them guess.
Yeah, I think that's
just say, the thing I care about most is when I walk in this hotel and it feels like magic, and it smells great, and it looks great, and everybody's smiling, and my whole makes my whole heart sing. Now you know that's what I'm looking for. It's not that hard, you know. And so, a lot of people are uncomfortable with the idea of putting emotion in business. But here's the thing. We want our customers to love us. We want our employees to love their job. We want the market to love our stock, market to love our products. It's all emotion. It's all emotion. And that doesn't happen unless you put some emotion in. You don't have to be a sloppy mess. You don't have to tell them about your whole childhood and your alcoholic mother and all your insecurities. They don't need to know all that. But they need to know why you care about working here.
I think that's such great advice. You know, so we talked a lot about, you know, examples of people communicating with noble purpose, you know, with Cheryl and the like. But what are some of the potential pitfalls that leaders make when they perhaps try to lead with noble purpose and communicate with noble purpose? What are the things that they perhaps inadvertently don't do or do that you've seen?
So one of the things that leaders often get accused of is talking out of both sides of their mouths. And leaders are afraid if they talk about the meaning and significance of the business that people will think they don't care about the money. So you got to take that off the table. You have to say, I care about making a difference to our customers. I care about you all. And I also need to care about the money. And so when I talk about purpose and noble purpose and making a difference, that doesn't mean that I don't care about the money. If the money doesn't work, we don't have jobs. And oh, by the way, humans are complex. We can care about more than one thing at a time. And so one mistake that leaders often make is they don't address those two things in tandem. Now, your ability to improve life for your customers, the money is a lagging indicator. The money always follows the meaning. But if you don't do the money part right, it doesn't necessarily follow the meaning. You can have all the meaning in the world, and if you don't do the business part right, you're going to be sitting on a curb going, you know, I work for meaning, and it's not going to be helpful.
Yeah.
So one of the mistakes that leaders often make is they either worry too much that their people will get the wrong message, and so they over-index on the money, or they talk about the purpose so much, and then their team comes back and goes, well, why are we being held accountable for the money? So you could explain it. How we make a difference is where our hearts and minds are. We have to have a financial model to support that. Just explain it in very logical terms. And I would say the other thing that leaders make a mistake on is they think that caring deeply about their customers and about their people means they have to say yes to everything.
Oh, Yeah, that's a big one.
They do not. Ask any parent who cares very deeply about their children. You don't say yes to everything. Doesn't mean, you know, customer centricity is often sometimes reactive, that the customer's always right. Being focused on the impact you're having on customers means being willing to sometimes say, we're not doing that, and customer, I recommend you do this. If you have clarity of purpose, if I'm working in an ER where lives are on the line, I don't tolerate low performance. You shouldn't in your business. So noble purpose doesn't mean tolerating low performance. It means setting the bar very high because the work we do here actually matters.
And communicating that often and well, if I would put it, you know, within my lens. You know, so I always ask guests one final question. So are you ready for it? Okay. So what is the one big takeaway that you want our listeners to chew on until the next episode?
You don't have to choose between making money and making a difference. If customers are buying from you, what you're doing is helping them. And you don't need to buy into this false dichotomy that noble purpose is for the, you know, social workers and surgeons of the world. You don't have to choose between making money and making a difference. You deserve both. You can have both. And we all deserve that.
Lisa McLeod, thank you so much for bringing all of this wisdom to our listeners. I would highly encourage you to pick up any of, I think you're at 5 books now, Lisa, at this point. It's the best-selling, you know, Selling with Noble Purpose that, you know, perhaps is what, you know, put you into the stratosphere. I happen to love the one that you wrote, Leading with Noble Purpose. That's the one that I have all sorts of dog ears and highlighter marks in. But you are just such a gift to me and to all of us who are striving to, you know, live meaningful lives, both professionally and personally. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. What a nice thing to say.
If you would like to hear more of our conversation, you can by going to our bonus content section on speakerdynamics.com. So in that mini episode, we talk about what to do if you have a tribe of true believers, except for one. You have one person who is just not getting on board. How do you handle that person? You know, she gives some really informative tips and strategies that can help you to be able to deal with this person who is the non-believer within your tribe of true believers. So if you want to check it out, go to speakerdynamics.com/bonus content. Once again, that's speakerdynamics.com/bonus content. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear and you'd like to hear more of it, please give us a follow, subscribe, and of course, spread the word to your family members, friends, colleagues. Until next time, everybody.